Welcome to the Sedated Man Podcast. We're here to help you break free from all that's holding you down and provide you with the tools to embrace the brotherhood of Christ. It's time to stand back up and be the man you were meant to be. Here's your host, Mike Baker.
Here we are finally, episode 95, What is Worship? So you have to excuse me between sickness and family visiting and all kinds of other things. And I apologize, I'm still a little stuffed up and whatnot, but it's been busy. But you know, every time you transition from winter to summer, it gets busy. And now we've got this bigger place and we've got so much more to take care of. So I see that you guys are listening to my podcast, and I want to say thank you. Maybe you're new here. If you're new here, welcome. I'm pretty straightforward. Hope you like that. If you are have been here and listened to most of my podcasts, well, thanks for coming back. I mean, you know, sometimes I feel like a bad dinner guest where I leave, and it's like, well, I guess I won't get an invite back there. But if you've been coming back, I really appreciate it. So I feel as though... The last few podcasts have really led up to this podcast, and it wasn't my intent to come on and hit worship. Worship is probably, I've been doing personal Bible studies and kind of preaching on the side and podcasts and teaching and just a lot of things for about 25 years. And so I'm not shy of the worship subject. I'm not uneducated about it, but I have noticed it is one of the most disputed and argued about subjects when it comes to scripture. And quite honestly, I don't understand that. Why don't I understand that? Because to me, it's very straightforward. I mean, there's no wiggle room on it. And so when people want to say, no, you really have to twist scripture in my opinion, to make those other claims about worship work. Now, I attend, for instance, the Church of Christ. Now, I wasn't raised Church of Christ. My wife and I attend Church of Christ because it's the closest to what our convictions are. Okay, it doesn't mean I agree with everything, such as the five avenues of worship. Totally disagree with that concept. I think we're trying to reinvent the wheel. Okay, so... What I'm going to talk about today is very straightforward. What I'm going to say is going to be very straightforward, as always. And what I'm going to say today is intended to help you think. Remember, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now, you can sit on the other end of this camera or this podcast while you're listening. You can get upset at me and you can tell me I just don't know what I'm doing. But if you're not willing to open a Bible and you're not willing to take a look and you're just going to go on what your fuzzy feelings are about it, then you're wrong. Okay? I have no problem being wrong. Bring me the scripture. Okay. My answer is always going to be, what does the scripture say? So with that, let's touch on what is worship. So one thing you guys will hear me talk about a lot, and I actually talk about it in my book. I just finished my book, Finding the Titan. It's currently getting formatted and getting ready for editing. One thing I say a lot is, if the Spirit indwells you. So I'll talk to guys and I'll be like, well, it says this. And you know, with Christian men, if the Spirit actually indwells you, why? Because scripture says that. It says, if the Spirit indwells you, because only you can answer that. So if you're in a position where you're unsure if the Spirit indwells you, if you're unsure if you're truly a Christian, you need to stop listening here and get that figured out. And if that means emailing me and asking me what my convictions are, what I believe scripture has to say, then so be it. If it means getting a hold of an elder in your church, but seek truth. I would say question everything, not for the sake of questioning, but for the sake of creating a conversation, creating the things that you need in order to come to a conclusion, a valid, educated, looked at conclusion. You need to get that figured out, because what we're going to be talking about in worship is for Christian men, men who have the indwelling presence of the Spirit, men who have forgiveness of sins. All right. If you're still stuck on the sinner forgiven model, and what's a sinner forgiven model? The sinner forgiven model is, well, I am just a sinner forgiven. Okay. That's the sinner forgiven model, and you'll find it nowhere in scripture. And if you go back a few podcasts, you'll hear me completely tear that to pieces. Okay. We are not simply sinners forgiven. Okay. Not if you're a true Christian. So with that, let's recap a little bit about what we talked about last time. So I talked about why Old Testament law is not New Testament faith on the last podcast. And the whole point there was to point out that too many Christians, or even quasi-Christians or God-fearing, are living their lives according to law. And I'm not going to point out congregations or denominations. That would be easy to point at which ones are law-oriented. You want to know which ones are law-oriented? Which ones have rules for everything? That's law. That's not the law of liberty. That's law. Okay. And what does the scripture say about law? Let's retouch on that briefly. Okay. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, by the way, before I forget, I have a new addition to my podcast. Welcome, the Outdoor Man Cup. Now, if you're an Outdoor Man fan, you understand why this is a big deal to me. So to me, this cup is the unofficial sponsor of the Sedated Man. It's good stuff. Anyway, so with that, Hebrews chapter 10. Let me get there. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Okay, so what do I want to pull out there? The law has only a shadow, right? And it can never make perfect. Let me repeat that. The law can never make perfect. Now, some of you are already going to a place in your mind where you're thinking, well, Mike, we're not perfect anyway. Whoa, back up. That is a sinner forgiven model. You need to redefine what perfection is. Okay? And we'll get to that in a minute. So if you go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, I apologize. You'll see me licking a lot. It's because since I've been sick, I've been like super parched. So I apologize. Okay, so 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let me get there. In verse 8. But we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers. And if you want to keep going, and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. Okay, I want you to back right up to the beginning of verse 9, realizing the fact that the law is not made for the righteous person. What is the Christian? If you are Christian, you should have a couple of things. You should have forgiveness of sins and the indwelling presence of the Spirit. Okay? Those are the things you should have, and then you are a righteous person. Now, the law is not made for the righteous person. So where is a law going to lead you as a righteous person if it's not made for you, but you continue to follow it? You continue to set rules and boundaries and tell people what they should and shouldn't do. Destruction. Look what happened to the Israelite church. Why do you think the Israelite church didn't work? They wouldn't follow the law. Now, here's a note to yourself. If the Jews had followed the way they needed to, the way God had designed it, not the way they redesigned it, the way God designed it, it would have worked perfectly, but it didn't. And the flaw was the Jews. So God recreated the system for Christianity, which was his intent from the very beginning, recreated it so that the law wouldn't be an issue anymore, so that he could put personal responsibility up among the individuals rather than the group. that doesn't mean there wasn't individual responsibility in the Jewish society, but as a whole, you knew what they were known for, their sacrifices, their traditions, their customs, their laws. Now, am I saying law never applies? No. What I'm saying is that it doesn't rule your life. According to Galatians, it doesn't, it's not your tutor anymore. Okay. So let's talk about definitions. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. A lot of you probably know this. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All right, let me say just a quick side note here before we go any further. Now, when I'm talking scripture, when we're saying, according to this, it says all scripture is inspired by God, we are, in this podcast, we are only speaking of the Bible as a whole. I'm not talking about books you think need to be in there or don't need to be in there. The books the Catholics had. I'm not talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses books. I'm not talking about the Latter-day Saints books. I'm not talking about the Quran. I'm not talking about any of that crap. I'm talking about this canon, this group of letters and books. So when we talk about all scriptures inspired by God, we're talking about that scripture. Okay. So with that, and maybe I just lost some of you with that, that's fine. But if you're gonna steer out because you think this is not the only scripture, here is a question for you. If you lived by the Bible alone, could you live a holy life? And if you answer yes to that, what is the point in the other scriptures? Any scriptures outside of the book? I would suggest to you confusion. But that is up to you. So make sure that if you're gonna steer off that way, that you're steering off educated and not over-educated, where you've been fed a line. Know why you know what you know. Don't just have an idea. Don't be afraid to stick your foot in your mouth a few times. It may not taste good, but it's helpful. Sometimes everybody needs a little vitamin F. That's foot in your mouth. Okay, so the point here is, all right, look, there's a lot of people who want to try and define things according to Webster's Dictionary. And you guys, if you've listened to me very long, you've heard me harp on this. Quit trying to define things by Webster's. Quit trying to define things the way people define things. Let scripture define scripture. That's what he's saying here. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Not some good works, not a few of them, not most, every good work. In other words, there is enough information here for you to do what you need to do. Now, that doesn't mean there's not helpful information out there, like Haley's Bible Handbook. If you're into archaeology, that's very helpful. That's not concrete proof. The proof is in the scripture. The evidence lies in Haley's. Okay. So moving on, the whole point here is we're going to let scripture define what worship is. All right. Not Webster. So in 1 Corinthians, starting to lose my little page markers. All right, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where I'm at here. Oh, there they are. Now, it's always important to remember context of the conversation. 1 Corinthians, Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth, men and women who are already Christians, okay? And he says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Now, this is where I like to have a little fun, quite honestly, okay? The temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. You would be amazed at the amount of men, Christian men, who avoid this set of scripture. Why? Because it means work. It means they got some stepping up to do. means they've got to really put the foot to the, I mean, yes, men are being attacked left and right right now. If you're, I mean, let's be honest, I am not racist at all, but if you're white male, you're under the biggest attack ever right now. Ever. So we have to keep in mind the important parts of the scripture. For one, the Christian, you, the adult Christian male, if indeed the Spirit indwells you, are a temple of God. Okay? I've got my notes to the side. That's why I keep looking. The Spirit, which if you look at Colossians 1:27, calls the Spirit Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Spirit, Christ in you, resides in you, which is probably part of, a huge part of what makes you holy. So that you, so with those factors, you, the Christian, are holy. Okay. You're the temple, you have Christ abiding, and you are holy. So let's talk about service to the temple. Now, if you remember service to the temple, we're not going to do this big, long, drawn out thing with the Old Testament. You guys are smart, all right? You know that the in the temple in the Old Testament, they had certain things that were set aside for temple use, right? Okay, they had this set of pans for the bread. They had the candle holders, the lampstands, the candlesticks, the bulbs. I mean, take your pick. They all had a purpose in the temple, and those things were never to be used for anything but temple service. So when Christ was speaking about destroying the temple and raising it up again in 3 days, and he was speaking of himself being resurrected, and now we are the temple because he indwells us, I want you to follow the logic here because I'm not leaving scripture on it. If we are the temple of God because Christ, the Spirit, indwells us, what does that mean? And I want to give you a little picture. What does that mean for my coffee cup? Now, some of you get where I'm going, and some of you are just completely lost, and that's okay. I teach with pictures. I really like giving pictures because people seem to, well, man, let's be honest, you know, pictures. So that's how we are. All right. If I am the temple of God, now in Romans chapter 6 through 8, it makes it abundantly clear that the Christian is more spirit than flesh. Now, if I am in my spiritual service right now, okay, and I am doing this podcast, and I am the temple, and I am holy, and this coffee cup is what? It's in service to the temple. Now, some of you are just shaking your heads. Mike, that's ridiculous. Whoa. Where's the disconnect then outside of your own thinking? Good friend of mine, Myron Golden, always says, if there's a problem in scripture, the problem's not in scripture, it's in you. Now, am I saying I'm right on this? Actually, I am saying I'm right on this. I want to give you a good picture. This coffee cup is absolutely in service to the temple right now, because I am holy. You don't just get to separate it. Where in scripture does it separate it? It doesn't. It says you are the temple of God. You are holy because Christ indwells you. When God looks at you, he sees what? He sees Christ. This is in service to the temple at the moment. So what's my point with that? My point is now you need to start redefining what you're looking at, what you're doing, how you're using it, the words that come out of your mouth. Are these conducive to service to the temple? I mean, I know there's a lot of guys out there with porn problems still. Porn. Sorry, that was kind of fast. What's porn doing to the temple? It's not serving it. Some of you have an alcohol problem. I don't disagree with the drinking, but alcoholism is obviously a problem. Not in service to the temple. We need to redefine the things that we're using, we're looking at, we're doing according to spiritual means, not physical means. Satan wants you to think physically. Why do you think all this crap is going on with our knucklehead quasi-president, whatever you want to call him? Why do you think all that's happening? Distracting you, making you angry, making you think and do things that are going to set you on a negative course. helping you to not be the leader that you need to be. You have to be smart about it. That part was free, but let's move on. So, John chapter 4. Hang on. I think this was one of the ones I forgot to mark. Yep, sure enough. Okay, John chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. All right, look, this isn't a game. All right, if you feel the need to redefine what he just said, you are looking to get out of the work that needs to be done. You're looking to evade. And on the last day, it's going to pop up. J-Day is when? I don't know. Do you know? I'm not a rapture guy. I think the only thing we're waiting for is J-Day. That's Judgment Day, for those of you who didn't catch it. Okay, so here's the deal. This is no joke. If you're the temple, God or Christ indwells you, the Spirit. If you're holy and we worship in spirit and truth, when are we not in worship? There's no avenues. There's none of that bull crap. No avenues. No, you can't. True worshipers, Christians, okay, are in worship 24/7. What that means is that you can't delegate worship to a time or a room. Your entire life is worship. Your prayer time is worship. And I want you to think about this. When you bow your head, and maybe, okay, so there was a time when my wife and I would pray for our meal, no big deal. Now we kind of watch out. I'm not saying we don't pray. I am aware of who is watching me. I still pray for my meal, but I'm very aware of who's around me and what's going on now. Now, I live in a pretty conservative area, so I'm not too worried about it, but I feel the need to now watch my back. I'm not going to stop doing it, but now I feel like I have to be, you know, who's watching. So here's the point. When you're praying for that meal, the place you are sitting is holy. Holy. It's in service to the temple. Drive your car, it's holy. Why do I keep telling you these physical things are holy? Because I want you to get a spiritual picture of what your attitude and your focus should be about worship. Worship is not just when you show up Sunday morning. It's not when you send your kids to junior worship. I hate that term. When I hear the term worship used in a church, it makes my blood boil because it's inaccurate. I've been in worship since before I walked in the door. Every part of my life is worship. You can't escape it, nor should you try. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. Hopefully my page turns aren't too loud. Luke chapter 22, verse 69. Now this will really bake your noodle. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, are you the Son of God then? And he said to them, yes, I am. All right. Let me add another parameter to this to really mess with you. We are the temple. Christ indwells us. We are holy. Our spiritual focus should show all things in service to the temple, which should make us mindful of what we're doing, where we're doing it, and how we're doing it. Okay. I'm not talking law oriented. I'm talking by choice because you want to. And that guy who indwells you sits at the right hand of glory. Now you can't be separated from Christ. So that means that you too are seated with Christ. Now, some of you will think that's a huge jump. Now, am I saying that I am Christ? No. I'm saying I'm seated with Christ. We are inseparable. When God looks at me, he sees Christ. And when God looks at Christ, he looks to his right hand. You can shake your heads all you want to. That's what it is. So perhaps we dwell with him more so than he dwells in us. This house, we are the temple, is his house. It's on loan. He's even come down, agreed to live in it and do all the work for you. But we get lazy. We let men convince us that we're just sinners when scripture doesn't support that. I'm not going to go into that right now. Go back a couple podcasts. You'll catch it. Or email me directly if you like. Look, guys, in these times right now, it is absolutely vital that we get clear, that we get focused, that we cut the BS. Because at this moment in time, things are changing at such a rate. I never thought that I would see this. Never. I fear for my children. But look, more than ever in our history, God needs leaders and he needs you. He needs you to get your spiritual act together. He needs us to come together. And he needs us to be David. We can't be David. We can't be Christ if we don't believe who God says we are. I believe it. Do I live my life that way? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I try and live my life that way every day? Absolutely. You want to call me a liar? Send me an email. Call me a liar. I don't care. You cannot refute this unless you twist scripture. That's my honest conviction. Now, does that mean I'm not willing to listen? No, it doesn't mean I'm not willing to listen. I'm always willing to listen to new information, but your info better be good. If you're going to blaze me with a series of scriptures that make no sense to anybody about anything, then don't be surprised when I'm like, you haven't proven anything. You want to debate me on this? I'm fine with that because debate creates conversation. We have grown too fearful of debate. I want you to think. I want you to step out. I want you to be angry. I want you to be passionate. I want you to say, this is not what I think. But I want you to be humble enough, if corrected, to say, that is now what I think. The time for soft weekends is gone, guys. Gone. You had better be living your life with purpose and direction because your kids are watching you. And if you have no kids yet, your nephews and nieces are watching you. Your church is watching you. They all need you. Purge the softness and regain the heart of Christ. So with that, that's all I've got for that. I did want to do something special today. So I always wear this hat or my other hat. I'm always looking for new hats. So I know that small businesses are really struggling right now. So if you have a small business and you listen to this and you have a hat and you want to send that to me, you send it to me. I'll wear it for a podcast. I'll totally promote your business. Totally. I have no problem with that at all. It's cost of a hat. Okay. So you can email me at mike@thesedatedman.com. Now you can email me there for any questions. If you want to send a hat for an address, that's fine. Go ahead and send it. If there's any way that I can help you guys with your small businesses, please let me know. I'm happy to do whatever I can. Look, build up one another. You know, I do this. I don't do this for money. I don't get paid for this. I have one patron. Awesome guy. Awesome, awesome guy. He donates $1 a month. He's been donating $1 a month for the last, I think, I don't know, 2 years. And I am 100%, 110% thankful for that $1 a month. Because that shows his commitment. I have never met the guy, but as far as I'm concerned, he is a great guy. I'm not asking for support from you guys. I'm simply saying I do this because I love you, and I do this for my sons. I want there to be a record of where the Baker family came from before all history is lost. So, not to go on a downer note, but so you can find this, if you're listening to this, you can find the video on YouTube and now Rumble. I'm on Rumble as well. If you go to patreon.com/thesedatedman, you'll find all the links. I usually put all the links up as soon as I post all these videos and everything. We're not on Facebook or Instagram. We got off there. I am on TikTok. I do more fun stuff on there than anything else. I don't do a lot of this stuff, but you can check me out and find me there. You can also contact me there if you like. I'm also on Canund, on Slide, on, boy, I guess I better look at my, I'm on LinkedIn. But anywhere you want to connect with me, anywhere you need encouragement, please just let me know. I'm not here just to yell at you. I want to motivate you. Now is the time. You guys have an awesome time. Have an awesome week. Tear it up. Rebuild your marriages. You let that woman know she's the most important thing in the world to you on a regular basis. And with that, Baker out.
Thanks for listening to The Sedated Man, bringing Christian men back to power in their homes, congregations, and communities. We'll see you next time.